I love microdosing.
I love microdosing.
Yesterday, I needed to go practice my drums, and I popped a little microdose gummy, and I'll tell you what happened. I drummed for about a good 2 hours.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
I was looking at our new roof, hoping that it wasn't going to leak, and I got some anxiety about it, so I thought, you know what? I'm going to take a gummy just to calm down so I can go to sleep and not worry about this. And I did, and I had a great night's sleep, and I woke up, and there was no leak.
I've noticed a change in you for a positive change.
I like to hear that.
Yeah. I feel like your mood is like very centered.
I'm sleeping much better.
Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just that right amount of good.
And you can get 30% off your first order, plus free shipping today at microdose.com, promo code PANTS. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com, promo code PANTS for 30% off and free shipping.
Microdose.com, promo code PANTS.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
But you know what? We're in sync. That's all that matters. Hi, everybody.
Hey, everyone. We're doing episode 2
of our podcast, Pants. We still don't know what it's about, technically, but
that's the beauty of it, though.
But we're having fun, and who cares, right?
Yeah, I think it's better if we don't give ourselves pressure.
Right.
But let's just go for the ride.
And if we bore the hell out of you,
turn it off.
Push stop.
Yeah.
That's what I say, right?
I agree.
Okay, so now we're going to go over to our fabulous producer all the way over in the UK. You know her, you love her. Rachel Shelley, everybody. She's going to be reading the fan questions. Rachel?
That was a great link, Leisha.
That was good. That was a good one.
It was brilliant.
Okay.
Okay, so our very first listener question is from Blair Smiles, who emailed us at pantspodcast@yahoo.com. They say, does it help that you're good friends to create such great comedy together? I know you're both great actors, but I wondered if it helps to have the foundation of friendship and trust.
I say it 100% helps that we're friends.
I'm going to second that.
We probably have, I mean, I don't want to call it layers because let's, you know, it's not like we're doing Shakespeare, but there's probably a familiarity that we bring to our characters when we're together that maybe otherwise wouldn't be there.
We have a shorthand.
That's it. There you go.
I don't need to worry about like crossing a boundary.
No.
Or like a perfect example, we were filming last year and it was the first time our characters had seen each other and I don't know, but it was a while.
15 years.
100 long years. Supposed to see you and it's like, oh my God, it's great to see you. And you're like, oh, I'm going to jump on you. And I was like, okay. Now, if you don't know that person very well, you're going to have to be a little more, you know.
Right?
Hey, do you mind? Do you mind if I like get really excited and I jump and you can hold me? And then you got to make sure the other person can do it because it's just, it's exhausting. So that's nice to like cut through that crap and just be like, hey, I'm going to do this.
You're like, yeah, come at me. Yeah, just come.
Like, yeah, it gets it done. It makes it fun.
Yeah.
All right. The next question is from Lynn Rafflaub. They ask, Leisha, do you ever have exhibitions of your paintings? If not, do you have a website for your art?
You know what? It's such a private thing for me, and I don't paint to show people because it actually, I think, would make me super nervous and I'd stop painting. So I don't. I don't know if I ever will. I think I might just always do. I mean, I give paintings to friends. But that's about it.
Can I tell one of the greatest gifts I've received from anyone ever in my life?
Sure.
So Leisha is incredibly talented. And so she doesn't want to show it. And that's her choice. But insanely talented, like mind-blowingly talented. We all realized that when we were in Vancouver. She did this incredible painting for Aaron Daniels' dog, Henry. And it was gorgeous. And for years, I was like, can I please have a painting of Floyd? Please. I asked her that question in 2004. And it took up to 2017.
He was still around.
He was still around. I think it was like a milestone birthday for me. It was like turning 40 or something.
Yeah.
Finally, I got my painting of Floyd. And it's like a photograph.
Well, he...
It's the most outstanding painting I have.
What's fun is I got to paint him in his last year of life. We didn't even know it, but he was white as a ghost. He had three legs.
Mm-hmm.
He was the greatest dog ever. He had him 17 years.
Or 18, depending.
Yeah, depending, right. And we went to get him together. So it was actually, for me, it was really emotional to paint him for you as well.
Well, it was really emotional to receive that gift, and it's hands down like the best present I've ever gotten from anyone in my however old I am now years.
I'm so happy.
This next question is from Kiara, and Kiara, she asks,
Miss Kiara. Kiara asks, is it asks or asks? Asks.
Asks.
Or asks.
Asks. It's that.
The S comes before the K.
Asks.
Doesn't that drive you nuts? I hate having to say that word out loud.
Asks.
Asks. You want to know a word that I had a hard time saying as a kid?
What?
I remember when Ferris Bueller came out, I couldn't say Bueller. Just could not wrap my mouth around that word.
What would it come out like?
Bueller? Bowler? Oh, I couldn't Bueller. Pronounce it. Anyway, it was like the biggest movie of the time and I couldn't say that word.
Whenever there's a bunch of R's, I'm screwed. It's like I'm chewing marbles. Like even say marbles is hard. I know because Nebraska, we have really hard R's. So it's like if you, the more you throw in, the worse it is for me. Okay. What does Kiara ask?
Right. So Kiara's question is.
That I have that same thing, but with O's. Words with O's in them. And I always have to be mindful to actually say the O because in Philly, the Philly accent, we get lazy mouth and we O's. Instead,
what's a word you would get wrong?
Like the word stove, right? The word stove. If I'm not thinking and being conscious, I'll say stove.
Ew, stove. That doesn't even sound like you.
I know, but like certain vowels, I just like the like with you with the R's, I have that with vowels. Kiara, all right, sorry, Kiara. All right, Kiara asks.
So Kiara asks, since you've known each other a long time, is there anything new that you found out about each other recently?
Oh, is there anything you found out about me recently?
Well, I recently found out that Kate can't say O's. I'm kidding. The other day you mentioned that you did a documentary that I never knew you did, which was so weird. You're like, yeah, remember when I shot that documentary? And no, I didn't know that about you. It seems like a very big thing I would have known.
Well, because it wasn't on a large platform. It was on...
But it's like, where were you when you were... Like, how did I not even know you went to shoot it or went... Like, where was I?
I don't know. For anyone out there who remembers R Chart, the short-lived R Chart, they were getting content for that.
It was based on Alice's chart.
It was back then.
Oh,
the R Chart... Our chart needed
then.
Content.
Okay.
Remember?
Now it makes sense.
There was all that content they needed to keep that thing running.
Yeah.
And I went to New York and I met all these incredible people and interviewed them and they told me their stories. And I went to the Hedrick Martin Institute, sat with them all there. And it was one of the greatest days of my life.
Wow. Well, is there a way myself and everyone out there could see it?
I have no idea.
It's a great promotion.
Not a clue.
Okay.
I really don't know because it's like, I don't know where this stuff winds up, but I just hope that every single person I met there is excelling in life because those were some of the most incredible human beings I've ever met.
But there are things about you that I've learned slowly, and I know them now, but that you would never think if you didn't know you that you would be like, which is so funny when you know you to know. Does that make sense?
Why?
Yeah, like your OCD quality. I think it's one of the greatest, the funniest things about you because it puts you in a category that you wouldn't otherwise think. Like Kate, I'm not kidding you. Well, it's like Q-tips go into places to clean out little nooks and crannies. You go to her house, you put your forearm on the countertop, like, and say you just put lotion on your hand. She's right behind you.
Ugh,
see?
Don't
She's
do
like
that.
Right behind you with a towel and some Windex. And
don't
can
make
I tell
me sound
what you did recent? Can I tell them what you did recently? Please. Please.
I don't know what I did recently.
Okay.
I've done a lot of things recently. Okay. Quarantine is like,
okay,
what?
So her wife blasted a picture to Kate's friends. I was on it. And Kate purchased little booties, little socks for her furniture, legs. And I couldn't believe it. And I'll never get over it. They were little socks on every foot of every chair and all the table legs. And it was the craziest fucking thing I've ever seen ever. And I can't believe you did it. And you were serious. And we had to tell you how ridiculous. And we have to post this picture because people are
Listen,
not going to believe it. But that's what I'm saying. You'll take your – it goes to a level that you're like, whoa. Whoa.
Look, here's the situation. I have black floors. That was a bad choice.
They're beautiful.
It was kind of the only choice at the time. And they are a lot of upkeep. So you see everything on those stupid black floors, hence the Flashdance leggings on my furniture, which I'll have you know lasted for 12 hours. And I threw them out in shame because I got shamed so badly by all of you. And they're all gone. I don't know where they are. It was a waste of money.
It's like, it's not like you can return them. They're like, no, we're good. We're good. No return policy.
The intention, it had the right intentions. Totally. We're just trying to unload them. So just whatever you do with them, that's not our problem.
Whoever buys these, I'm sorry for you.
Once they leave the factory, we don't care.
Like the one person a year that buys those. Oh my God.
All right. Well, All right. I own that. I own the cleanliness. All right. Well, let's toss it back. Well, one minor thing about you is that I never knew you liked wicker.
But
it's small. But I was like, Leisha likes wicker. Huh. Okay. I had no idea. You have to understand, Leisha has really excellent taste. And I'm not saying your wicker choices aren't.
Okay.
No. Hold on. Let me finish. Leisha has great taste.
You don't have to say that. You could hate it. I don't care.
Oh, I'd tell you if I didn't like it because you ask my opinion anyway. I think I'm pretty honest, right? Like you showed me something recently and I didn't like
it. Okay, that's true.
I'm not going to lie to you about that. Yeah. What I'm saying is you have good taste. That's just the way it is. I'm not knocking your liquor. I mean, your wicker liquor bar. I'm just like, I had no idea you liked wicker. And here's the thing, you make it work.
Thank you. Well, Anna said it reminded her of Brazil, which I thought was a very sweet compliment. So I was looking for a bar cart, like bar cart. Did you guys hear how hard those R's are? And I...
Bar cart.
There's a lot of different kinds out there. And I found that that one gave me like beachy. I felt like I was at the beach because I only wanted it to be for tequila. Like, that's my new obsession. So I have, like, all these different kinds of tequila. And I thought the wicker bar cart was really pretty. And I will also post a picture of that.
It's a very nice bar cart. You showed me a photo of
it.
But
you didn't know I liked wicker. You didn't know I liked wicker at all. Like, you would never think, ooh, wicker.
I have a very conflicted relationship with wicker from childhood.
Oh.
So.
Was it your furniture in your bedroom or something?
Yeah. My mom is, like, a wicker freak. And so when someone says wicker, I instantly think to the nightmares that I had to live with for so many years, and I associate it with something.
What did your bedroom look like? What did it look like growing up? What was your bedroom like? I'm so curious about this.
Pale yellow walls. It had wallpaper, like striped wallpaper that was blue, white, and yellow on the other side of the wall. It was a lot of white furniture, some white wicker bullshit.
What was your bed frame and stuff?
It was a simple bed frame. It didn't really have a bed frame. I think I had my grandma's that she gave to me.
And was it the same from when you were young to when you left the house? Or did you ever do like a teenage makeover?
Yeah. I didn't have bunk beds. I had that kind of bed where you have the space to play underneath and then you can sleep up top. I had that thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Remember that? You could get them at IKEA.
Like you had a top bunk, but not either. You had like a desk underneath
and then,
or something.
And no, underneath it. It wasn't high enough for a desk. You couldn't like stand up in it. You could like sit in it upright or you could, you know, lay down in it. Yeah. It was like where I kept all the stuffed animals and my toys and my blocks and whatnot. Yeah. And then I upgraded to like a teenage bed and it was like a typical 90s kids bed with like posters on the wall. My mom, she was like, you can do what you want to your room, but there's certain things that are staying. So if I wanted to like take down the wallpaper or repaint the walls or get rid of some wicker furniture I couldn't stand, it was this whole fucking thing and she wouldn't let me do it. So I had to work within the confines of the wicker.
Wow. So I really triggered you with that bar cart. I'm so sorry. I had no idea.
A little bit. Yeah, that word's a trigger. But my point is that and I'm sure there's many wicker things in this world, but the one you chose, I was like, oh, I get it. Yeah, that's a very good looking bar cart.
Yeah, and I don't have a wicker thing. It's not like you're going to be like, uh-oh, there's some more coming in.
I know that's stupid.
But thank you.
And the other thing is, about you, and I've realized this more and more about you as the years have gone on, is that although that you're incredibly friendly and well-met, nothing ever seems to get you down, you really cherish your alone time.
I was so scared about what you were going to say.
What do you think I was going to say?
I didn't know. I didn't know what the follow-up was going to be. Although you're nice, you know, I was like,
I didn't know you were, listen, I didn't know you were going to tell them about my chair socks, so.
I couldn't keep it in any longer. People need to know.
Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Just take it from me. Don't do it.
Yeah, I do. I do like my alone time. It really just kind of brings me back. I think if I get too overstimulated by people or things to do or places to go, which is, you know, the life we all live now, we all live very fast-paced lives. Like, if I don't have some me time, like, whatever that is. And usually it involves, like, gardening or painting or doing something where no one else is around. Then I just kind of malfunction.
If you don't have that, you're saying.
I feel skitzed out. If I don't get it, yeah, I feel skitzed out. Like, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like a robot whose head is frying.
What I'm saying is that I don't think people would think that about you because you're just, you know, people interpret, you know, friendliness and kindness and like.
Oh, it's like being super outgoing.
And I feel like you like that more as you get older.
I think I do. I think it is like a new discovery.
Or is it because as you get older, your tolerance for bullshit lessens and you don't, and you need that time alone.
Well, it does. Oh my God. There are a lot of like exhausting people in the world.
Oof.
And just the energy and
energy sucks.
Or you get to a point where you don't have to put it up with it anymore. I think it's because I know what it is. I suffer from people pleasing. It's like a very bad, it's my whole life. It's like if I'm not making people happy in some way or another, I just feel like I'm guilt ridden.
It's the cross you bear.
Like I'm letting everyone down or I'm not, I know it sucks, but it's got to go. So I think like claiming my time is growth for me.
Reclaiming your time.
I'm reclaiming my time, Kate. I can feel guilty for asking for it too. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
I know. Remember, I think we had a conversation a while ago and I was like, you know, one of the greatest words in the English language is no.
Oh, you're great at this word.
It's very simple. It's just so hard to
say. You're so, oh, my cat. Do you hear that? That's Peggy. I better let her in. She's like clawing at the door. Oh yeah, you're great at the word no. You're like, Leash, you just say no. Just say no. And I'm like, what? How? What do you mean?
What?
How?
How?
You're like, just say it.
What
no.
Do you mean?
You don't have to say why? Oh, that's always your follow up. You don't have to explain yourself either. You're just very like no.
No.
Cut and dry. I respect you for these qualities because
thank you. I don't think everyone does.
No, you're very to the point. Why though? Why would you not? You always know what you're gonna get with you.
I mean,
I know where you stand at all times.
I mean, I like dealing with people like that. I think life is too short to dick around and give word salads over something that you could just directly say with a few words. Like, why sugarcoat something that sucks?
Oh, I'll be like, hello, my honey. Hello, my dog. I'll be like, look over here. No, like, I'm so opposite of that. I don't want anyone to, I'll take 10 years to get to a point.
No, you'll just suffer through it.
That's what I mean.
And I'll pull you aside and I'll be like, are you okay with this? And you're like, no, but you know, it's like what I have to do and it's for this or whatever. Like, these are the reasons why. And I'm like, you don't, like, why? Just say no.
Right. Meanwhile, I'm like dying.
Yeah.
I know, you're so right. Well, I've gotten a little better, maybe.
No, you have gotten better. It's
personality types. You know, I'm like, there are certain personality types that make me fall into that role where I'm just like doing cartwheels to please somebody. And then there are some that like for some reason I get the personality I wish I'd always have, which is more towards yours, which is like I feel self-assured, like, oh no, I can take this person on. If they're an asshole, is what.
But you do that. That's the thing. You don't realize. I've seen you do that to people that, you know, maybe you're a bit turned off by. And when Leisha goes cold, it's cold in the room.
Well, because it's shocking, right? It's like, I'm never like that. So it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. But you're not blatant about it. That's the thing. It's not that obvious. I feel the chill because right. I know you. I don't know if anyone else feels the chill, but I see it and I'm like, yep, that something stinks. Otherwise, she wouldn't be acting like that. So you do have it in you. It's just a muscle you have to exercise.
Right.
Just say no.
Just say no.
Just say no. Do you like that? No, I don't.
You are like that. You're that. It's that hardcore. Do you want to go? No. I don't.
Not really. No.
I've seen people like not know what to do. They're kind of like, okay.
Well, because people then expect you to explain yourself. And I think as you get older, you're like, you know what? I don't have to all the time.
And then I'm like next to you softening the blow. No, I mean, she doesn't want to go, but which, you know, she's just give us some time to think about it. She might be.
And I'll be like, no, Leisha, I got this. I got this. Leisha, I got it. I got it. Yeah. I'll be like, Leisha, no. Seriously, I meant it. No. I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't have time. I don't have time to bullshit anymore. I don't have time. It's like, take it or leave it.
Right.
So does that answer your question, Kiara? I hope Kiara was satisfied with that answer. We really went off. Rocket Money. I used Rocket Money again last week.
How many? Are you okay?
I don't know.
You have
I
a get lot these, of subscriptions you forget about.
You know what it is? Because I get these apps and you have to pay for everything you get these days. And I think, all right, well, I'll use this for a few days and I'll cancel it. But I forget.
And you have forget to every week that you forgot last week. Yes. Thank God you have Rocket Money. Before I started using Rocket Money myself, I thought I had about like, I don't know, 6 subscriptions. No, Kate, I had like 15.
15?
Yes. I was like, clear it, clear it, clear it, get rid of it. And Rocket Money is like, we have your back. Because Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. So you can start to grow your savings.
Plus, Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pants. That's rocketmoney.com/pants. Say it, Kate.
That's rocketmoney.com/pants. What have you been up to?
I don't know if anybody knows this. We both love more than anything to do home projects.
Yeah, this is quarantine or no quarantine.
Yeah, we'd be doing the same thing regardless.
Yeah.
The only thing that's really shifted it is picking up supplies.
That's challenging. I needed rocks. I needed about 25 bags of rocks, and each bag was about 40 pounds.
Right.
I think I waited for about an hour and a half.
I'm wondering what kind of rocks you got, because a couple of years ago, we went and picked out rocks at that place in the valley. We spent probably an hour picking out your rocks.
Oh, you're right.
Remember those?
Yeah.
The little jaggedy ones.
I do.
So what was this for?
What I've been doing is I have a thing against grass. I like grass when I don't have to care for it.
I want to talk to you about this because
why?
I don't understand what you don't like about grass, minus that I get it takes a lot of water to keep it alive. But what's your thing? What's your thing with grass?
All right, here's my thing. Number one, it takes a lot of water. That just always makes me feel guilty every time I hear the sprinklers go off.
Okay.
Secondly, Mo.
Your dog. That's your dog.
Yeah. Mo goes out there and you know, she'll destroy. She loves to dig. Right. So and then she'll pee on everything. So between all of the big holes that she digs and all the brown spots and then, you know, and then you want to bring like a friend over, like if Banjo wanted to come over. Right.
Right.
Like,
that's my dog.
It's just turmoil on the lawn. So
but that's what it's supposed to be for. You want your dog to have grass.
I understand, but I don't want it.
You don't want it.
So my project was that I got rid of all the grass. And I replaced it with this thing that they call it DG. It's decomposed
granite.
Or gravel, I think. Decomposed gravel. So it's very powdery. It doesn't hurt your...
Right.
Well, they call it DG for
it's
short.
It's DG. Who cares what it is?
It's DG. But it's like it solved the problem of the grass.
Do you still have a nature-y vibe when you go outside now? Do you have... Because I haven't seen it. You've sent me a picture.
Oh, yeah. No.
But does it feel luxurious like you're in nature?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. There's still the trees. There's still the lemon tree. I put all the rocks inside the flower beds, so it's more of like a rockscape than just dirt.
Oh, that's good. And you're not it's like you love trees. You don't like grass, but you still love trees. I'm not going to have to worry about you being like, no, the trees look good.
No, okay, good. I love my trees. I would never lose them. I like other people's grass. I don't want to have to care for it. Because then I did drip irrigation. So I took out all of my sprinkler heads.
Oh, this is big. You should tell people that you learned how to do this because I was very impressed.
There's a company called Dig that has, I think it's called Dig. Yeah, it's called Dig.
It is because you made me get it for my situation.
Yeah, and you can do it yourself. It's incredibly satisfying.
I'm excited. I'm going to try to put mine in tomorrow.
It's just a pain in the ass. I'm sorry. I fucking hate a sprinkler. I can't stand
it. I'm with you. Kate, when I tell you I'm with you, I am with you on this.
Sometimes, depending on where they are, they can hit your house. And then you have, you know, property damage.
I've had that.
I have too.
Water rot.
But one time in my old house, there was like bubbles on the inside wall in the paint. I was like, what the hell is going on? And I touch it and it was like soft. It was like bread.
That's gross.
Mm-hmm.
They're like little nightmares, those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, meanwhile, when we were kids, it was like, go water the lawn. Like we had to go put, you know, the one that has the thing you run through as a kid.
I grew up in the city. I didn't have it.
Oh, that's right. I was your kid.
I grew up going
you're like, I didn't really have a childhood.
I didn't have a backyard.
Well, there was this thing called a sprinkler, like a 70s sprinkler, and it would do like the little fan. And we'd go back and forth, and you'd put your bathing suit on, you'd run back and forth across the grass.
Was that the slip and slide?
No, you would then hook it up to a slippy slide. But this one is like, it would go up in the air and then down on the other side. And I'll send you a picture, but those were fun.
Oh, please do.
And like, I don't think our parents were bitching about that. It was just like, that's how you did it back then.
What have you been up to?
Oh my God. Okay. So you know how I love a screened in porch. My grandparents had one when I was growing up. And
have you,
what?
Can I interject? Yeah. Have you stained the outside of it yet?
No, I'm about to tell you what I'm doing. Okay. I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
Cause I know, cause it's been a thing for me too. So my grandparents had a screened-in porch in Maine when I was growing up, so we would go visit them, and they were some of the greatest memories I've ever had were on this porch. Like, my family would get together, and all my cousins and everything, and they'd, you know, my dad would pull out the guitar, and then we'd do sing-alongs, like, super, just, like, the greatest memories. So when I was older and I bought my first house, I was like, one day I'm going to put a screened-in porch on this thing. So I finally did it about what was like 2 years ago, right?
Was it?
Yeah, it was like two. Yeah. In that time, the screens got droopy. I went out last week and I was like, I'm going to tackle this problem. And so I popped them off the other day. And then I zipped off with my little Dremel tool. I zipped off all the like finishing nails.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make it like where they screw in with really pretty screws, like the kind that hide.
The camouflage screws?
Yeah, the camo screws. The screens were staple gunned underneath, which is great because that's what I did. But it was just done really poorly.
I don't want to shame him publicly, but was this George?
Yeah, George.
So, love George. Great guy. Maybe screens just aren't his specialty.
So then I kind of took them off like fabric, and then I just got the greatest air compressor that I'm obsessed with. And
oh, you found one.
I found one that's so cute, and I love it so much, and it's really
nice.
Easy. But it's little. It's only 1 gallon, so it's our project size compatibility. It's not too... I used to have one that was like really too big.
You had one that was really heavy that it was on wheels.
Heavy, right. And this is like you just pick it up and go. And then I bought a staple gun for it.
Nice.
And so I just pulled all the screens super, super tight and I put them like every 2 inches.
Smart.
So to answer your question,
smart.
It looks very country. I don't know if it matches like the look.
Uh-huh.
So I've decided I think I'm going to paint it the same color as the house.
Smart. I was just going to say, why don't you paint it the same color as
you
your
were?
House? Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm really excited now.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I kind of always thought that. I would be out in the backyard. P.S. Leisha has a very large backyard, and I enjoy Leisha's grass. It's very, very nice to look at and to walk around barefoot. I'm just grateful I don't have to take care of it.
I'll keep it
every
for
time,
you.
Thank you. But every time I stand out there and I'd look over at your porch, I'd be like, God, that would look... Because I love the color of your home. And I thought, oh, I wonder if that would look more uniform if it was painted.
It does, right? Because it kind of sticks off the house. You have asked me if I was going to seal the wood.
Only because I see the front gate and I want to seal that too.
I know.
I want you
because
to
Because the bougainvillea
that.
Grew along the wood, I don't know... How am I supposed to get to it? I would die trying to get to the wood.
Very delicately moving it aside, throwing some stain on it.
I don't think that's possible.
No?
But I agree with you. Where I live, it's very sunny. And I love wood, but it's kind of like I'm starting to realize it's like a lot to keep up.
It's a lot of wood.
Wood, Jerry.
It's a lot of wood.
It's a lot
wood,
to
Jerry.
Keep up.
Wood.
You and I, you do things that I would never want to do.
Like stuccoing. I stuccoed last week and you couldn't understand why
did it. Like you do those things. I know. You do the things where I'm like, whenever I imagine having like too much safety gear on, that's when I'm like, okay, I'm out. You know what I mean?
You don't need a lot of safety gear to stucco.
But you'll do chemical. You'll be like, you did like your garage floor. Like you sanded your cement.
I did.
One,
I did.
No, for me, no way. Two, then you'll find like the sealer and I'm like, chemicals, no, bye. And then you're just in it and then you're in an enclosed space. Like all those things scare me.
No, I'm not in, I epoxied my garage floor, but you have the door open. It's not like you're contained in your garage when you're doing that.
I know that, but like for me,
right.
I want to do it all, but I know that I have these limitations.
Right.
And then sometimes with tools, like remember when I forbid you to get a table saw?
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah,
Leisha forbade me from getting a table saw.
I did. Because I use one and it's scary as anything because you have to have someone on the other side to like receive the wood like you're feeding through. And one small move, it'll either whack you in the face, like you could cut your fingers off. Like it's not...
Oh, no.
You have to be so...
Yeah, they scared... Listen, I was secretly grateful you forbade me because I was terrified of using it anyway.
Yeah.
I find a miter saw I get majority of my stuff done with a miter mm-hmm. saw and my hand saw.
Exactly. Or a chop saw. Like those are fun too. You're just like, it's over.
Yeah, or a chop... Yeah, and I have a chop saw. Exactly. A table saw... always has always terrified me.
But I think
always.
Like when we do a project together, which we've done a million of,
yeah.
sometimes those like that combo really works. Like my Can-Tan.
Yeah, Leisha, about, what was it, 3 years ago?
It was a little longer than three. Yeah,
4 years ago?
Yeah, but something like that.
4 years ago, Leisha got a wild hair up her ass to get a canned ham. One of those, you know, one of those
it's old. Like an old trailer that you pull behind your right. truck from right. like the 50s. And they called it a canned ham because it looks like, I guess, what an old... I guess you used to buy ham in a can, I guess, but it looks yeah. like those ones, like I Love Lucy had one.
So the fun part for me was when Leisha called and she goes, hey, you know, I found this canned ham and I want to go pick it up. Do you want to go get it? And I said, yeah, sure. I was like, let's go for a ride, thinking maybe it was in Pacoima.
Yeah. But wait, listen, I had looked at canned hams that people had rehabbed, right? And they were like 20 grand or so, like something so stupid. And I was like, I'm going to find one that I can do.
Right.
So I found one in, it was north of San Francisco.
Yeah, it was. It was
and
real.
And it was like $1,000.
It was real north of San Francisco.
That's my canned ham.
We left. I remember, yeah. So I went to pick you up and I had my car had a hitch thing at the time. So we were able to hitch the trailer onto my car. And then, but I remember I picked you up. It was maybe 5 a.m. and we made it all the way north of wherever the hell we were of San Francisco. We listened
to Serial.
We listened to Serial, the first season of Serial.
The whole way.
And then we picked up this canned ham. Mm-hmm. It was falling apart.
Honestly, the guy was, I think he might have been happier than anything, like
to get rid of
two
it.
Chicks showed up to me. He was like, he couldn't even give it away fast enough.
Yeah, he was like, unload this from my driveway, please.
I was so happy.
And I remember we hitched it to my car. And then I think it took about 6 hours to get up there. And it took us about 13 to get home because we couldn't go above 50 miles an hour because the 50 wheels...
50 was like our top.
Yeah, 50 was our top. That was cutting it close. I remember at one point the door swung open and...
Oh, yeah, we had to pull over and get duct tape to like start like the windows. Like people were like, your door's up. We're like, what? And we had to pull over.
It was a real National Lampoon's moment. 13 hours to get back to LA. I want to say we got back to LA at like 11 or midnight. We got at some obscene hour, loaded it into your driveway. And then when it came time to taking it apart, I mean, this thing was from what, like the early 50s?
55, I think.
Something crazy. I mean, the amount of asbestos poisoning we probably
had. Well, that's
had
what, yeah. From- so we went and got these like really like high level masks. And then, but we didn't know about the asbestos till I read about it later. But I was like, okay, I got it because I don't do demo. Like, or I do it, but I don't like it. So I was like, and you're like, I love demo. And I was like, okay, great. So we tore all these like rotted black
panels.
Like the grossest thing you've ever touched or seen. And we're like ripping it apart and throwing it in the trash. And then I read 2 days later that they were like riddled with asbestos. And I apologized to you. I was like, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'll send you the hospital bill when it comes around.
But then you were the greatest friend. And over, what did it take me, like 4 or 5 months?
Yeah.
To restore it. But it was so much fun putting it back together. And I watched this guy on YouTube that was like, out in the middle of the desert, he was like 60-something, and he would do these long, slow, detailed YouTube videos of how to do certain things because it's a really kind of complicated thing to do. You think it's going to be so easy, like, oh, just rip it out and put it back in. But I would watch him for hours, like hours and hours with this guy. I was like, well, what you're going to want to do is take the screw from the middle of the – you know, and you're just like, yeah. Like, I'm just watching – but you helped me do it, so much of it.
Remember the you had this very thin wood paneling that went flying off the roof of your car.
What? Birch.
Birchwood. Not my birch.
because the whole the whole inside of it is birch and it like bends really easily because it's curved. So I went and I got all these huge panels of birch and I like put them on the top of my pickup and it was like drooping over and the place wasn't that far from my house and I'm driving and all of a sudden you hear and like I look at my rear view mirror, it's like broken on the middle, and I went out and I was like, not my perch in the middle of it. I was like stopping traffic. Oh my god.
Oh, that fucking canned ham.
I'm so weird.
Tell everybody where it is now.
Well, I sold it eventually because I put it in my, after it was over, I didn't know what to do because I don't camp. And I was like, I would be like, does anybody want to come over and sleep in it? It's really great.
like no, I'm good.
One friend slept in it, and that was it. And it sat there for like 2 years. I was like, what the fuck am I going to do with this?
You know,
thing? I don't even know what the point of it was, but it was so satisfying.
I mean, it could have gone. I don't know how it could have fit in there. You'd have to get a forklift, but it could have gone in the backyard because there was enough space and made it part of the communal area where there's
right, like a thing. But I would have had to have lit. What's it? Craned it in.
Yeah.
From the back, and who's? What am I going to now? Pay like well, how many thousands
to,
of dollars?
You'd probably get us to do
lift it.
Here's the thing. Like, yes, because this is what happens. Like, you go to Leisha's house and you think, oh, great. Like, I'm going to visit a friend. We'll have some, you know, a tea, a drink. We'll do something. She will put you to work.
Yeah.
You have to earn that snack. And the problem is that then it comes time for snack time. And you think, oh, great. What are my treats? And it's like, at best, a rice patty with maybe some peanut butter on it.
If you're lucky, if I have some around.
If you're fortunate and you're parched and you're like choking on this rice patty, this rice cake thing. And then you're like, all right, what do you get to drink? Thinking there'll be like a fresh lemonade. And meanwhile, it's like a glass of water.
Listen, I appreciate that you've stuck with me for all these years. I really do. Because I don't sound that great.
The amount of photos and like and videos I have of us and our friends. Like, remember the remember that massive table we had to carry in from the garage to the living room that truly weighed maybe 700 pounds?
It does.
I mean, this thing was solid oak.
Well, I can't lift it alone.
No shit. And clearly neither could we, because like all of us were like getting hernias trying to carry this thing from the garage to the, which was maybe 100 yards. There was 8 of us trying to do that.
I know. Listen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I really do apologize for these problems that I have. But I know if I were to think quickly enough on my feet right now, I'd like have like a rebuttal here. Or something. It's like,
it's okay.
And I will next time.
Listen,
on our next podcast.
You don't have to, because you know what? It all comes out in the wash. Remember that one time where I had to do all the planting and I was like, shit, how am I going to plant all this? And then 20 minutes later you showed up.
Yeah, I show up. That's what I'm saying. I'm not so, okay, exactly. I showed up. I like, if you ever need anything in my pickup, we go get it.
Oh, hell yeah. Listen, yeah. Listen, I hope you know I'm not knocking this.
No,
it's a fun personality quirk that I've always enjoyed, because you always have to earn your keep.
Right, but I will
get... Earn your visits. Earn your visits with the...
Oh, my God.
Listen, if we didn't have to social distance, I would have been like, hey, I have 25 bags that are 40 pounds a piece of rocks. Would you come over and load them into my backyard?
No. No, we would have gotten them together, driven them up there, taken them out of the truck. Put it like, I would have been... I've already done the rock thing with you. I know how it would have gone.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd do anything for you.
I'd do anything.
And I'll lift a bag of rocks any day.
Leisha, I will help carry a 700-pound table any fucking time. You just got to say.
Thank you.
You just got to say when, and you have to have those rice cakes ready for me.
You got it. Well, I love you, and I still miss you.
I love you back.
Oh, we're going to have a special guest on our next podcast that we're very, very excited about.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a Zoom date with a friend of ours.
It'll be great. It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
So until next time.
Yeah. Have a good week, everybody. Stay safe. And we'll speak soon.
Have a great week.
Okay.
Okay.
Love you, Leisha.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Pants.
Thank you for listening to Pants, a podcast brought to you by myself, Leisha Haley, and my friend Kate Menig.
Please listen and subscribe on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want us to keep going, hit that subscribe button.
You can follow us on Twitter at The Pants Pod.
If you like us, leave a review. I promise we'll read every single one of them.
You can email us at pantspodcast@yahoo.com or tweet us questions or even send us a recording of your question, and we will answer a few every week.
Rachel Shelley is our producer and our editor over in the UK. Theme song by Carolina Parr from the band CSS.
And artwork by Love Fox.